same Norman R. Hassel, but I went with Slim Hassel ever since I was 12 years old.
Slim Hassel, huh?
Slim.
Where were you born, Mr. Hassel?
Out here in Pine Township, about 4 miles out of Grove City.
Pine Township, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What year were you born in?
1905. Had a birthday yesterday.
Uh-huh. Okay. Were your parents American or were they foreign born?
Nope, they were Americans. They were both born. My father, and his mother, and they came from Germany.
Oh, they were German, huh?
Yeah.
Your grandparents were from Germany?
Yeah, and my father's side, and the ones from my mother's side, they were from Scotland.
Oh, I see. Was your mother from Scotland or her parents?
Her parents.
Well, you had an interesting mix then in the family.
Yeah, I have. One of them, the beer drinker, and the other, whiskey drinker.
What were your parents like?
Huh?
Did you know your grandparents?
Yep, some of them. I know my grandmother. She heard that she lived to be 103 years old.
Oh.
Her sister and Sharon, she had a sister and Sharon, lived to be 113.
Oh, boy.
And her husband, that one that lived in Sharon, her husband was 91 or 92 when he died.
Uh-huh. What did your grandfather, the German grandfather, do for a living?
He was coal.
Coal miner?
He wasn't a coal miner, he was an operator.
They
operated stills in Germany. They made beer. Uh-huh. They had distilleries.
I see. And they operated a coal mine in this country.
Yeah, in this country, they come here, they had mines. Out around Chestnut Ridge here, they had all, not no big mines, but little country mines is what they operated.
I see. Uh-huh.
He'd go out and buy a little piece of ground or lease it or something that had coal under it, and they'd put a shaft down and take the coal out, then they'd move someplace else.
I see. What did your father do for a living? Did he coal mine?
He did the same thing, coal miner.
What did you do?
Operate coal mine.
You've been a coal miner?
Yep.
You operate your own coal mine?
Mm-hmm.
Well, could you tell me, was coal mining very different from then than what it is now?
Oh, yeah. You didn't pay the wages then you do now. Then you didn't have the stuff. What they would do, I've helped them many a time, just put a shaft down.
Uh-huh.
Put stuff down in there and put the engine up there and a steam engine and a boiler and stuff, you know, in a boiler house.
Yeah.
And then it'd go right down in there and start the big coal.
They
dig coal, so up there, all that coal around there was all worked out. Then they moved someplace else.
Uh-huh. I'd like to put down on tape, because I think it's kind of important historically, to know how you made a coal mine in those days. People are going to forget it, you know. How did the old-timers coal mine? What's the first thing you would do? You look for the land?
You look for the coal.
Well, how would you know where coal was?
Well, they'd have a drill. They'd drill down. I seen my dad drill and other fellows with they would take a big long pole, an oak pole. They'd put one end of it right in the ground, then they'd bring it up so far and they'd put it on a Y. See, and have this end go over, and then they'd hook the tools on there, and they'd work around, and they'd just work around that, shoving up and down, going down, going down, going down.
You mean the tree limb, which was bent, supplied
the
power?
Yeah, it was a machine.
I see.
They'd pull it back up and they'd push it down, see?
To dig the hole. How long was the pole?
No, it would be 35, I suppose, 40 feet long, whatever they'd get handy.
How high in the air would it bounce?
Oh, it wouldn't bounce very high, maybe 25, 30 inches.
Uh-huh.
They'd have a hole of it. They'd have a cross piece on it where a cable come down, and a man on this side and a man on this side, and they'd push it down and keep going around like this, you know.
Oh, I see. And the tree limb would give them the help of pulling back up.
Pulling back up, see?
I see. How deep would they probe into the ground to find out if
would anywhere from 35 to 50, 65 feet, something like that.
That's
60.
That deep, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We had mines out in the old homestead. I remember my dad saying there was the shafts was 60 feet deep.
Oh, boy. All right, so that once you found coal, what did you do next?
Huh? Well, they would have that there, dig the shaft, you know.
Yeah.
The shaft. Then they had timber, you know.
Well, how'd you dig the shaft?
It was a hand.
How wide was it?
It would be generally about 5 foot, 6 foot square.
Uh-huh.
They'd have cars, and they'd make a cage. They called it a cage.
Uh-huh.
And it would go down to the steam engine, you know.
Yeah.
It had a steam engine up and a pulley up above and put the cage down.
Oh, that was to let you down into the shaft.
Yeah, that was to let the men down and bring the coal out.
I see. It was a steam engine that ran it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that time there wasn't other thing.
Did they always have to have a man at the top to operate
the
steam
engine? Oh, yeah, sometimes too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you get the steam engine from?
Oh, we get them here with Leo Stevens' great-granddad handled them.
Oh.
And we'd buy them off him. We'd done a lot of business with him.
Were they pretty reliable steam engines?
Oh, yeah. I got one foot here that smashed. I got it caught in the gears when I was a kid.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Didn't smash the train. It just tore on my shoe and opened about up this far. I was the first patient at Doc Bashline and Doc Rossman ever had in Grove City.
Is that right?
It happened on a holiday. And they were just fixing their office down there up above Walter's jewelry store.
Oh. What year was that?
That was along about 20... Well, that was 22 or something like that, 21 or 22. But we had mines before that, though.
What year did you first work in a mine?
Oh, heck, I worked in a mine when I was 10 years old.
So that'd be 1915, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I didn't work in there. I'd be down there doing something, My dad wouldn't let me work in there. I think I'd just be down there, like, watering the oil in the pumps or something. We had steam pumps down there. They'd always go down and oil the pumps and stuff and check them.
Yeah.
Maybe we had ponies down there to haul the coal out. Well, I'd go back and look and see how the ponies was coming and feed them and water them and stuff.
Oh, the ponies stayed underground all the time.
Oh, so lots of them stayed in there for months.
Uh-huh. Where'd you get the ponies?
All over the country.
Oh, just ordinary ponies?
Huh? Yeah, just ordinary ponies and take them there and break them.
Did you ever strike water as you're sinking the shaft down?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times.
What'd you do with the water?
Just pumped it out.
With that steam engine?
Steam engine, steam pumps. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Cameron pumps.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So then you dug the shaft and you had the cage. When you reached the coal seam, what was the next step?
Well, then you just stop right there because the bottom of the coal seam, you know. Then you start to work out in both sides, just on each side of the shaft, say, after the shaft, say.
Yeah.
You didn't work out that way and this way. You couldn't work the four ways. You just had to work one off one another.
Why was that?
And kind of caving in, see, it's weakening it.
Oh, I see.
And then you had to work it this way and that way.
Uh-huh. How many cave-ins? Were cave-ins fairly common in those?
Oh, yeah. We had one mine out here at Chestnut Ridge. You go out here, well, Climb the Garage is now. Turn to the left and go down there. And, just in that first woods down there, my dad and my uncle had a mine in there. They opened it up.
Uh-huh.
And they just got it opened up and hadn't been open very long. And there's quicksand in it.
Oh.
And it come down. Uh-huh. It just bagged, got in those five or six men in it. And they just got three of them out. And the other three, they didn't get out quite in time. Get up in the cage. The cage, when it come up, they said there was 3 feet of sand on it.
Oh.
But these other guys, they didn't get out there in time, and they got in the air chamber.
Uh-huh.
There was an air chamber built, and there was steps in the air chamber. And
there was an air chamber built? What's an air chamber?
Well, that's where the air goes up and down in the mine.
So you'd bring air, fresh air down the mine.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they started up that air chamber, and before they got up very far, the sand pulled it down and broke it. And they had to climb a hot steam pipe. They were just burnt all over, they claim. I was just a little kid, and when that happened, and my mother, we heard the whistle blowing. It wasn't very far from where we lived.
Uh-huh.
We heard the whistle just blowing and blowing, and mother, she got scared, and we went down and hitched up, old Charlie, we called him, horse buggy that time.
Uh-huh.
They came up, and we went up there.
Because you knew there was some trouble, huh?
Mm-hmm. There was some trouble. Went up, and that's what they was doing. They was getting them men out of the mine.
Uh-huh. Can you tell me about this air shaft? How wide was that?
Well, it would be just the same width as the shaft, only it'd be only about maybe 2 or 3 feet wide, see?
Yeah. 5 feet by 3 feet. Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it lined with wood or something?
Yeah, it was lined between the main shaft and the
seam, the face, the coal face?
The coal facing, yeah.
How many air shafts would you have to have? How often would you put an air shaft in?
Well, not very often. You didn't out there because when they're digging the coal, they'd run an entry this way, see?
Yeah.
Then they'd run an air shaft this way, an air entrance, a smaller entry, see, yeah, to circulate the air around.
Oh, I see.
That's what they would do. Some places had good air all the time. We never had too much trouble with air,
mm-hmm,
because my dad, he understood that pretty well.
Mm-hmm. The circulation of air.
How
about, did most coal miners understand the circulation of air? How professional were they?
Huh?
Were most of them pretty smart at that, or were some of them not too bright about it?
Well, some of them wasn't. You get new ones, and as far as it hadn't worked very long, you know, they didn't know too much about it. You get the old-time miner, they know exactly what to do.
I see. Well, who went into coal mining? Was it father to son, or did people just come and try it once in a while?
No, there was father and son. They dug coal all their life. We had fellows out there that dug coal all their life.
Uh-huh. Did many immigrants come in here to dig coal?
We never had too many of them. We had a couple of them, but not too many.
Uh-huh.
You take number five out there, they had more of them than we had.
Mm-hmm.
See, they had a lot of there because lots of people settled there. They built houses for them and stuff.
Where was number five?
Well, you know, you go out to Leesburg.
Yeah.
Well, the old number five mine there.
Okay. Uh-huh.
That's where they work, most of them. But there's lots of them that come over to our place and work at our mines because they wanted to work in the little mine instead of the big mine.
Were they immigrants?
Yeah, lots of them was.
Oh, you hired immigrants to work in your mines.
Huh? Oh, yeah, we had lots of them. In the First World War, we had a lot of them working for us.
What nationality were they?
Well, God does everything.
Uh-huh. Mostly Slavs, you think?
Yeah, and Italians.
Uh-huh. Were they pretty good miners?
Oh, yeah, they were all pretty good miners.
Uh-huh. Worked
you
hard.
Take a coal miner, he just got one way to go, and that's the right way, if he's going to work in the mine. He's got to do everything right, because his life depended on it.
I see. And they knew it, huh?
Yeah, and they knew it.
Did you instruct them? Did you give them instructions? When you hired a new immigrant miner, did you tell them what to do?
No, they knowed. We didn't hire them. We didn't.
Oh, I see. Where, had they learned in Europe? Is that it?
Yeah, they had learned someplace else.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Now, we got the shaft dug and an air shaft. What would be the next thing to build?
Well, we'd build the tipple up above, you know. And
what's a tipple?
That there would be the shaft on up, you know.
Yeah.
Up on the tipple. And they would build it up and be 40, 50 feet, about 40 feet, or higher than the ground. Then raise the coal up there and have an opening up there. When you heist the cars up, would run them off and dump them, and they'd come down in the screens, you know, screen the coal.
I see.
Then my dad, he built the first coal chute there was in this country.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's under these here screens, and he had to shoot for the lump coal, one for the net coal, and one for the slack and everything. And all you had to do was pull a wagon under there with a team of horses and pull the lever down, and it'd run full. Your wagon would run full.
I see.
Well, first year or so, he got that built. Why, hell, he sold all the coal in the country. Nobody else would go because they had to go to the other mine. They had to shovel it on.
How'd you get the idea, do you know?
He got it somehow. I don't know how.
Nobody else did that, huh?
Nobody had a coal chute.
Did anybody copy his chute after?
Oh, yeah, afterwards they started to build them then.
What year did he put up that first chute?
Yeah, I think it must have been about 1915.
Uh-huh.
16, along there someplace.
Was it on a hill? Is that how you do
it? No, it was right on the level. I can take you out and show you the spot where it was.
Oh, whereabouts was it?
You go right out towards Blacktown.
Yeah.
And you get out there and...
past London?
Huh?
Would you go towards London?
You don't go past London. You go out this
Mercer
side.
Road, the Mercer Road?
Uh-huh. You're between the Mercer Road, 208. You go out 208.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And get out there to Center Church. You know where Center Church
is?
Uh-huh. Well, there's a down right there. One road goes this way and one road goes straight ahead.
Yeah.
Take that road straight ahead.
Oh,
and go up
north.
There about two mile, and it's off the left.
Is that up towards those auto agencies, Taylor Ford?
Uh-huh. No, they're on the Mercer and Grocery Road.
Not that far, huh?
No.
Okay.
It's on the Blacktown and Grocery Road.
Okay. Did you live pretty close to the mine?
Well, when we had that mine there, we lived a lot of places, because my dad would buy property where there's coal on, see.
Uh-huh. Oh.
He'd maybe have 2-3 properties bought before he ever started operating on them.
Uh-huh.
And then he had a chance to sell the one we was living on, he'd sell that.
Oh, I see.
Then
once
we'd move to another one.
Uh-huh.
See?
I see. What about buying the land? Was that a tricky proposition? Did people want to sell?
Yeah, most people wanted to sell.
Because you gave them a good price, is that it?
Well, you didn't give them a little bit more money than the ordinary bring, kind of the coal.
Uh-huh. What would land ordinarily bring, and what would it bring if it had coal on it?
Well, it wasn't very much at that time.
Well, about what? Can you give me some figures?
I couldn't tell you now.
Hard? Would it double the value, you think, or would it be twice as much as
it
had
no, been? It wouldn't be twice as much.
50% more?
No, a third more, maybe.
A third more, huh? And people were pretty anxious to get that extra money.
Yeah, extra money, yeah. Then we had coal, my dad had coal leased. He leased coal off of people.
Oh, the mineral rights, huh?
The mineral, take the coal out with a permission to take the coal out when he got ready to take it out, and he'd pay him so much a month.
I see.
Uh-huh. He had a lot of places like that leased up.
Was there much competition among miners to get coal land?
There wasn't at that time, no. Uh-huh.
Did it get more competition later on?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. A lot more.
Uh-huh. How many coal shafts or coal mines would you estimate there were in the Grove City area in 1915?
Well, I don't know up on this side of town, but out on that side there.
The west side?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that would be the old Bessemer mine. That's up on between here and Mercer, and the old Washabaw mine, the Webster mine. Then you go over there and get the Coyer mines. And go down where my dad had a mine in there. Then a little farther around that country there, my dad had another mine. And then the next mine was over at, on the Blacktown and Grove City Road.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Coyer Nimmo. They opened the mine up there.
Mm-hmm.
They owned that.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that was worked out, my uncle, he bought the old McFarland farm. Mm-hmm. It wasn't working at the time. It had been open, but it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
He bought it and opened it up and started to work it.
Why wasn't it being worked?
Well, this fellow had a big farm,
And
it was more money at that time in the farm than there was in the coal.
Would a farmer sometimes, if he found coal on his land, mine it himself?
Well, some did, but they never made success of it. They never put the money in it to get it outright, you
I
know.
I see. Just for themselves, is that it?
Yeah, uh-huh. Just for their own use.
Uh-huh.
But my dad opened and bought a mine off a Bob Fullerman, a Robert Shipton. He had this mine, and he bought it.
Uh-huh.
It was already opened up and working.
Uh-huh.
And my dad run that mine for, 5-6 years
uh-huh.
before he got the coal all worked out.
Uh-huh.
Then we wanted to buy the piece of ground next to it, the farm on down below. We tried to buy it to get the coal, and the old farmer wouldn't sell it.
Oh.
He couldn't sell it, and they couldn't get no more coal, so we abandoned the mine.
I see. How long did it usually take to mine out a mine, to get all the coal?
Well, it just depended on what the acreage was and stuff, you know.
Did he ever think of getting bigger? How many men did he employ at one time?
Oh, my dad employed as high as 30 men.
30 men?
Mm-hmm, in mines.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Did that pose any problems? Did you ever have unions? Did they have
No,
unions?
They never had no unions then.
Was there any suggestion of forming a union?
Well, they talked about it, and they never done it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then my dad went to Evan City.
Uh-huh.
This John Turner in Grove City here, he was a coal broker.
Uh-huh.
And he had this something to do with this mine down there at Evan City. It was a railroad mine.
Yeah.
You didn't have to haul the coal or nothing. You just rung it up out of the shaft and dumped it right in the coal car.
Oh. Uh-huh.
It was a big mine. It was a big mine. It employed a lot of men.
Yeah.
And he had somehow or other, and he wanted my dad to go down and run it for him.
Uh-huh.
So we moved to Evan City, and my dad ran that mine down there for a couple of years for him. Then we come back up here.
You preferred running your own? Did he prefer running his own?
Yeah.
Why? What was the problems in running a big mine?
Well, he was away from his people and stuff. Everybody lived here and everything, and he was away from them.
Yeah.
He,
he would have to come back home every so often.
Did they have a union up at Ebbets City?
No, there was no union there.
Was there any coal mine union around here?
I don't think there was any union at that time.
Uh-huh. How did the men get along with the owners, the operators?
Well, they would have their set to every once in a while.
Over what, Jenny?
Wages or something, you know, or the conditions of working or something. And they always got them settled.
How'd you usually settle them?
Well, they'd settle them. The miner would give so much, and the operator would give so much, and they'd do this and that. We had some one time. We had mine out here. The one out here right now where the Crestview Cemetery is. We opened that mine. And it got so far to haul the coal, push it, you know, at that time in cars. But they didn't want to do it.
Oh, so underground, you mean?
Underground.
That was up to them to push it, huh?
Yeah, push it out. They loaded it in the car and pushed it out and put it on the cage, and we raised it up and dumped it.
See? I see. And it was taking too long to push it to the cage.
Yeah, you know, seeing everything. And so they wanted. We had to go and buy mules, you know, ponies. At that time, I was running around the country then, big enough to work and stuff. I went down the country here, down to Humes Grossman's, down with Sipiroki, had advertised in the paper, 2 mine ponies for sale. I went down and I bought the both of them, $300 a piece, paid for them. But they were nice ponies. Brung them home, and there was one of them, was a little sorrel mare. And, oh, they're just a nice sorrel. You ever see the white face and the white feet, you know? My mother seen that there pony when I unloaded her off the truck, and she come over and she laid the law down. That pony wasn't supposed to go in the mine. She said, that pony goes in the mine, you go with it and stay with it. She says, you put that pony down the mine. Too good looking. I had to give it to my younger brother. I wasn't allowed to put it down the mine. And I give it to him, and he had it.
Why did the fellow in Super Rock call them mine ponies?
Well, they were broke for mines.
Oh, for working in a mine?
In a mine, yeah. What, old Redmond mine, you know, north of Slipper Rock. It was north. It wasn't Redmond, none. It was north Slipper Rock. That was a mine, and that's where they went into when they closed the mine up. That's he bought them there.
Oh, I see. They were already had been used.
They'd been worked.
Well, what did you have to do to a horse to break it for a mine?
Oh, you had to take it down a mine. You had just, sometimes you had one heck of a time breaking one, but you got, if you got the right man. We had an old fellow by the name of Fred Chipton. He was the best mule driver. Well, they called them mule skinners, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
He was the best one there ever was. He could take a mule that nobody else could drive. Get the puller car coal, and he could take it down the mine in 2 hours, he'd have it working.
What did he do, you know?
All he'd done is ever would work with mules.
Ponies. He just understood them, huh?
Yeah, he understood them.
Did the ponies and mules get scared of the dark? Is that the problem?
No, they wouldn't be scared. They'd be down there day in and day out in the dark. I bought a mule one time when we had this mine out here. And we was overhauling a boiler. Had to get a manhole gaskets. You know, a manhole in the boiler was about big around, like.
What's a manhole?
Well, you take it out and get in there to clean the boiler out.
Oh, I see.
See?
Yeah.
And we had to have one. Couldn't find one. And I come to Stevenson, one Stevenson over here. That was Leo's dad.
And did he run a hardware store?
No, he run it was a machine shop.
Oh, that's still here, isn't it?
Yeah, Stevenson. It's still here. They'd always done work on pumps and stuff, like steam pumps and steam boilers and stuff.
Yeah.
So his dad told me to go out to the mine. His dad had something to do with this mine out along the Mercer Road. He said, there's some out there at that mine. They had sold the mine, the Stevenson had sold the mine to somebody else.
Yeah.
At the time, and I went out there, and I asked the guy about him. Yeah, they think they had some there, and so I had the old one with me, and measured up, and it was right. He had some, I just right size. I got it, and there, and they brung us this little mule, strawberry roan it was, wasn't that high.
About 4 feet, 3 feet?
Yeah, up by the mine. Oh, just all cut to hell and bleeding and everything else, jumping around, and they couldn't, you know. I said to him, I said, what the hell happened? There was 2 men on the cage with it. I said, what the hell happened to that pony, or that mule? Oh, it's an outlaw. He says, you can't make the son of a bitch work. You can't make this. No, Jesus, he's cussing and swearing, you know. I just happened to think of old Fred, and I said, what do you take for it? He looked at the other fellow and he said, what do you think we ought to have for it? They're supposed to take $15 for it. I said, I'll take it. Uh-huh. They had a hauler on it and stuff. I just died in 1923, I think it was. Because I was driving a 1923 Studebaker Roadster.
Uh-huh.
I tied the rope on the back of the bumper. And I got in the car and I started off real easy, and the mule just followed me.
Uh-huh.
We trotted clean over to the coal mine over here.
Uh-huh.
And I got it over there, I pulled in, you know, my dad come out of the engine house, come in another fella. He's, where in the hell did you get that thing? I said, bought it. My God, he says, what the hell, is it in a war or something? I said, I don't know. I said, but I bought it. And took it in and put it in down. We had a mule barn there,
uh-huh.
put it in there. And I doctored the thing up for a couple of weeks, worked with it. Finally, one morning, this old Fred Chipton I was telling you about, he was driving for us, and he said, how about taking that mule down, see what it'll do today? He uh-huh. said, that little pony you got down there is getting pretty, too much load for her. Coming up with coal dipped, you know, and went down.
The shaft dipped?
No, the coal inside dipped, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we had to pull it up a hill to get up to the shaft.
Oh, I see.
I said, well, take her down, take them down and see, he said.
Mm-hmm.
I said, take them down. So we put them on the cage and took them down in. And old Fred, he monkeyed with them down there, you know, a while and everything, you know. And we took them back in with the cars loaded.
Mm-hmm.
Duff and he hooked them on, you know, with the cars and stuff. Start, told them to get. And Fred jumped on the front car, hitch, you know,
mm-hmm.
leaned down. That mule took that cars out there right at the bottom of the shaft. He swore he'd done it for 100 years. He worked them every day after, never not a bit of trouble with them.
Hmm.
I got when I got them $15 and I sold them when we closed up there at the mine, sold it to the cemetery associate. I sold them for $300.
Is that right? Oh, that was quite a bargain. Huh?
And yeah. We worked them for 3 years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. How many men got killed in the mines?
Well, we never had a mine, and we never had a fogged kill in the mine we had.
Uh-huh. How about in this area? Was it unusual to hear about a man getting killed?
Well, once in a while you'd hear somebody.
Once a year?
Maybe something like that, yeah. Wasn't very often.
How often would cave-ins happen in the whole area?
Well, you couldn't tell that because lots of them would cave in after night and stuff, you know, and maybe you wouldn't find out if you wouldn't be back over that part of the country, you wouldn't know it
a
year or 6 months after that, maybe five months.
How long did you work? Were there night shifts or was it just
one
shift?
Used to work night shifts when the war was going on, First World War and stuff.
Why'd you work a night shift?
To get the coal.
Because the price was so high?
No, it was one of the coal. People went in coal.
Oh, I see.
See, we were selling coal to, I hauled coal over here to this college over here when I was 10 years old with a team of horses.
Oh. And there was a lot more demand for coal, huh?
Oh, yeah. They wasn't, they wasn't producing it like they did today. If they could produce it then like they do it today, it wouldn't have so much. But everybody had miners and dig it, you know.
Yeah.
By hand. Everything was done by hand. And you hauled it in from way out there to Blacktown with a team of horses. You couldn't make over. Well, if you made three trips a day, you was lucky.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But mostly all the time you had two trips.
Yeah. Did you hire men to, teamsters to haul the coal?
Oh, yeah. We had three or four fellows.
You didn't do it yourself.
I didn't. I done it when I was big enough to haul coal.
Uh-huh.
I hauled a lot of coal. But in the wintertime, it was cold weather, I had to be at the mine to help the mine, see.
Uh-huh.
And we hired another fellow by the name of Hubert to
uh-huh.
take my team and work.
Uh-huh. Do you remember what you paid a teamster to haul the coal?
$2 a day, I think it was.
Uh-huh. Is that pretty good money or
average? Well, I started at 6 o'clock in the morning and worked till 5, 6 o'clock at night.
11, 12 hours. Huh?
11 or 12 hours, and
uh-huh.
$2 or $3 a day.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I was just telling old Wes McCall down there about, he was talking about wages, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he said, I remember when I worked, when they graveled this road from Rose City out to Center Church.
Uh-huh.
I said, I had a team of black horses and a dump wagon, and I hauled gravel on that road in the township,
uh-huh.
for the township. And they only paid once a month.
Oh.
And I says, I worked there for 30-some days, from 6 o'clock in the morning till 5:30 at night, hauling gravel, and kept a team of horses and stuff, and myself. And at the end of the month, I went down to get my check, and it was $300.
$300.
Yeah.
That's pretty good money, isn't it?
That was good. Well, it was not for keeping a team of horses.
Oh, I see. You were supposed to get extra, huh?
Yeah, I had a team of horses. They're a big team of horses. Boy, they eat a lot of feed. I didn't have nothing left that I paid my bills.
How could they pay you only once a month?
Well, that was the township. They only made checks out once a month.
Oh, I see. Well, it'd be pretty hard to last a whole month if you didn't have any money.
Yeah. Well, I always had my dad to go back on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of equipment did you use in the mine? How many machines did you have in the mine?
Didn't have no machines.
Nothing
they all
at
dug
all.
By hand.
Everything but pick and shovel?
Pick and shovel. And a breast auger where you drilled a hole in to put the powder in to shoot it.
Oh, you blew it with dynamite?
Yeah, dynamite.
Uh-huh.
No, black. Well, sometimes
black
you use
powder?
Dynamite. Mostly just use black powder.
Uh-huh. Did you ever have any accidents with that? Was that dangerous work?
No, we never had no accidents with it.
Did you stay down in the shaft, in the hole, when you were blasting, or did everybody have to get out?
No, they just go back in a, what they call a cubby hole. They'd drive an anchor, you know, so far out, then they'd make a hole back in here, see.
How big was the hole?
Well, just big enough for a man to get back in there. And
to protect himself.
Yeah, uh-huh. And 4 or 5 feet wide and 4 or 5 feet, 6 feet deep, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they'd
uh-huh.
get back in there, you know, they call it cubby holes.
Uh-huh. So you didn't lose any time then?
No, they just run back there and get in that hole as soon as they lift the powder.
What's the longest mine you ever had where the workers had to push from the face, from the coal face to
well,
the
I
shaft?
Well, I couldn't tell you that. I never measured it.
Roughly. Any idea? Half a mile? Quarter of a mile?
Oh, it was less than a quarter
yards,
of a mile.
200 yards?
Yeah, maybe a couple hundred yards at most.
How long would it take a miner to push that?
Well, at that time, lots of mines didn't even have T-iron, you know, iron rails like railroad.
Yeah.
They just had two-by-fours laid down in their flat,
uh-huh.
and they'd push it on that. Of course, they couldn't keep them. The cars would be off the track and on the track, and you had to get it back on and get the track moving. It
uh-huh.
was a bugger.
Uh-huh.
My dad always tried to keep T-iron
uh-huh.
and put the T-iron down, you
yeah.
know, use regular, like, railroad spikes.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, to make them run better.
Makes it work better.
Yeah.
But when you're just driving a little entry in or something, a little cut, something where they just used two-by-fours.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Hmm. Who'd you sell the coal to?
Well, we sold to John Turner, was a coal broker here in Grove City. Him and my dad always got along pretty good together. He sold
uh-huh.
John Turner a lot. Then he sold the Ohio Illuminating Company.
Where was that?
That's in Cleveland.
Oh, you'd ship it to Cleveland?
Yeah, we hauled it in there and put it in cars and hauled it to Cleveland.
Where, on the Bessemer Railroad?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
My dad went up, when they'd paid every month, but my dad had to take the bills up there to Cleveland.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
How'd he go to Cleveland?
He had to go on a train.
Go all the way to Cleveland?
All the way to Cleveland to get his check. And he'd go up there, and they paid his way up and back, I guess.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But he went up, and he'd take the bills and stuff, and he'd take it
out.
Well,
I wonder why they didn't do it by mail.
No, they wouldn't do nothing by mail. They wanted right there.
That's
$1,300 coming once.
Oh, yeah?
1 month. And he went up and get it, and he come back. And he got back home. I come in after him into the railroad station here.
Uh-huh.
And he lost his case, you know.
Yeah. It had the money in there?
It had the money
Was
in
it cash or a
cash.
Wow.
He lost it. He couldn't find it, and went back to the railroad and got a hold of it down there, and they called in, and they couldn't find it in the train or nothing.
Oh.
Nobody knew where now. It went along for about a month or 2 months. And I was out there one Sunday. We pumped water on Sunday. You had to pump water 24 hours a day.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. So even on Sunday.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I was pumping water, and this car pulled in. You know, old fella got out of the car, and he come around the water house where I was, and he said, is this the Hassel mine? A fellow by the name of Fred Hassel. Yep, I said, this is, uh-huh. I said, I'm his boy. He says, you are, yeah. Okay, he says, I'll tell you, he says, I've got a briefcase. He says, it belongs to him.
Uh-huh.
He says, I got it in some stuff that was coming from Cleveland and got mixed up with ours somehow, and we never found out. He says, never bothered with it, so just here a while ago, and I got looking and we found the address and stuff and the money and stuff that was in it.
And oh, you like that? That's honesty, huh?
Well, that's when people was honest.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't do that today.
Uh-huh.
And he gave me the money, and I was going to. My dad wasn't home.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, I wanted to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir, you're not paying me a cent. He said.
Mm.
He says, if you say another word about paying me, he says, I'll slap you.
Huh.
He says, I didn't bring that up here for pay. He says, I bring it up here because it belonged to you.
Uh-huh.
He said.
Boy, that was quite a...
And he lived down in east of Pittsburgh.
Oh. He wasn't even a local guy here.
No, he lived down east of Pittsburgh.
Who was he, you know?
I don't know what his name was.
Were, you think that was truer in those days than today? Were people more honest?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That time you could trust a man. Uh-huh. Today you can't.
Uh-huh. Was a man word was a man's word his bond more in those days?
In that time, my man told mm-hmm. something, he could figure mm-hmm. out what's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have miners who worked for you for years and years, or did
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the old fellows had been there a long time.
Yeah, a long time.
Uh-huh. Did you? Were there any holidays? How many days a week did you work?
Huh? Six.
Six, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Always six.
What well, about we worked on Saturday morning, see?
Oh, 5.5 days.
Yeah, and then they could come out if they wanted to come out on uh-huh. Saturday afternoon. And one time we had an old fellow out here by the name of Dunkerley.
Uh-huh.
And every other day he would be out, by gosh, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon he'd come out.
He'd quit, huh?
He'd quit.
Uh-huh.
And on Saturday come, by God, he'd stay until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Oh, and he liked a shorter day, huh?
Yeah. And uh-huh. so one day my dad told him one Saturday, he always paid on Saturday, made the checks out on Friday night,
mm-hmm.
paid him on Saturday. And this guy's name was Louis. Louis, he said, I can't pay you today. He said, why? He says, well, he said, I paid the rest of the men. He says, they all come out. He says, but you've got so much time coming, working every Saturday mm-hmm. afternoon. He says, I just didn't have the money to pay you. Oh, he says, that's all right, Fred, that's all right. He says, I've got $1.50 left over from last week. I haven't even touched it.
uh-huh.
My dad just turned around and reached in the ledger and got him his check. He thought that was uh-huh. enough.
uh-huh. Did the men get paid by the hour or by how much? A piece rate, was it
by
piece
by
rate?
The car.
Carload, huh?
Every uh-huh. car. Come on, we had these little brass things about that
tokens,
big round, you
kind
know.
Of tokens?
Yeah, with a hole in.
Uh-huh.
And there was a hook on the side of the truck, and the car.
Uh-huh.
When you load the car in there and you bring it out to the shaft, you hook your check on there. You had a certain number.
I see.
And when they come up to tipple and we stop, we take that check up and off and hang it on the board up there.
Oh,
and at night, we count the checks and know how many load cars you
uh-huh.
loaded, see.
Uh-huh. What if a guy had only a half a car at the end of a day?
Well, he wouldn't send it out.
Oh, he'd just leave it to the next day. Huh?
Yeah, he'd get a full car.
Was there any stealing among the men or bad attitudes?
Well, once in a while you'd get some cramp there, you know, or something.
Uh-huh.
One time they talked about, we had the mine out here towards Blacktown, and they got, a couple of them got in, they was going to form a union.
Uh-huh.
One of them didn't want the union, and the other one didn't want it or something.
Uh-huh.
They got in an argument down the mine, and well, once the bell started to ring, we had a bell to ring, you know, and no one to come up.
When they wanted to come up, they rang
yeah,
the bell?
Yeah, they rang, it was a car of coal, why it was uh-huh. just one ring.
Uh-huh.
And it was a man, why it was two or three rings.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it just rung, and I just went over there and started to mine up, the engine up, you know, and brung them out. Two old fellas there. They come out of there, and boy, they was yelling at one another and laying her off, you know, and everything.
Yeah.
Well, one hauled off, and the other one took off up across the field running the skin of hell and went after him. We never seen him again till dinner, till after dinner.
Uh-huh. They were
I was arguing over about the union.
I see.
The one that started union.
Well, what did they want a union for? What was the...
I don't know.
It was just, what year was that about?
Well, that was in the, it was in 1819 or somewhere along there, I suppose.
1819?
1819, somewhere
uh-huh.
along there.
What'd you think of John L. Lewis? You remember him?
I don't know too much about him. I was too little to read the paper, you know, young. I didn't read or anything about him or anything like that.
Did the United Mine Workers, when did the United Mine Workers come in here? Has this area ever been unionized?
Hmm?
Has the United Mine Workers...
I don't think they was ever unionized in here. Uh-huh. Only
his mines are too small for that, I suppose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was number 5 mine out here, number 2 mine, it was Fowler, Mercer had them. They were big mines, but quite a lot of men, but I don't think they were unionized.
I see. The men were pretty content with things as they were.
They had, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the reason for that? Why were they more content here than, say, around Pittsburgh?
Well, just kind of cost of living, I think.
Uh-huh. Conditions were easier here.
Yeah, these people out here, the Fowler Company, they built the houses and stuff, and miners lived in them. And they had a store, and the miners went there and bought all their groceries and everything. They didn't have no money. It was all right. They didn't work it out.
Oh, that was a real improvement. A company store was actually an improvement?
Oh, yeah. They helped them out.
What about the houses those workers lived in? Were they pretty good places or not so good?
Yeah, it was just cheap houses. You know, you go out at number 5, you'll see them.
Yeah, I've seen them. Towards Leesburg.
Yeah, going towards Leesburg. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what they were.
Well, that made conditions pretty good, huh? The workers thought things were pretty good when they could live in those houses.
They could live in them houses and stuff and didn't have to worry a thing about the upkeep or repair of the taxes or nothing.
I see. It's a pretty good deal for them, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What rent did they charge for those places?
Gosh, I couldn't tell you. It wasn't very much, though.
Very little?
Uh-huh. Very little, yeah.
Uh-huh. So they were actually an advantage, those houses.
Oh, yeah, they were an advantage. They kept the men right there.
What about the company store? How was that an advantage?
Well, they'd go to the company store and they'd get whatever they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
After you worked there at the mine and they knew you was going to be there and study worker there, you could get anything you wanted at the company store.
Oh, you got credit, huh?
Credit, yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Were the prices reasonable in those stores?
Oh, yeah, it wasn't no higher than anyplace else.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They never run the store for a profit.
I see.
Nothing.
Interesting.
They'd get their kerosene oil and stuff there. You know, at that time, a lot of kerosene oil burnt.
Well, why did the mine owners make these company stores? Was it just for the convenience of the workers, to attract workers?
Yeah. They had to all fix it. You take old Redmond mine down here. You know where it was?
No, where was it?
That was outside of Slippery Rock.
Whereabouts? Can you pinpoint it?
Well, you go down the Slippery Rock Road out here.
Toward the Country Club Road to...
No.
Oh, I see the
Liberty Street.
Yeah, uh-huh.
You go down there, and you get down there, turn to Slippery Rock, and you'll come to a place, and you'll cross a little creek, a little bridge there.
Is it just before the, what business is it there? Kennametal, are you thinking of Kennametal?
Yeah, just on this side of that.
Just this side of Kennametal.
Yeah, well, there's 2 farms back in there, Reed Farm.
Yeah, there is a little creek that goes there,
And the Reed Farm's in there.
Right near the golf course.
Yeah, and you can go back in that road just before you come to the Reed Farm and go in there, or you can go out around, well, I'll tell you who owns it now, is Johnny Bryden, the district attorney of Slippery Rock.
I see.
Slippery Rock, he's the district attorney of Butler County.
Right.
He owns that ground back there, I think, the biggest part of it.
Uh-huh.
And you go back there and then you see where the houses is built and where they would have been. Everything.
Are they abandoned now?
Oh, yes, everything's going down now. It's been
was it along Wolf Creek?
No, it was on over to the left of Wolf Creek.
Okay.
Yeah, my grandson got one of these here metal detectors, you know. And the rest of him and his dad went down there, and they went all over that ground trying to find something, old things. They got some old tools and stuff that was found buried in the dirt.
Oh, did they?
There. Yeah, quite a few things.
In your lifetime in the mines, how much did they change? Was there any great invention or development or machine that really made a difference?
Well, the loading machine and the cutting machine.
What's a loading machine?
Well, that loads the coal in the car, see.
Oh, I see. And you use them in these little mines, huh?
No, not in these little mines. You didn't use them in the big mine.
Uh-huh.
In the big mines, and then they had these cutting machines. They went in, and they had a blade underneath, you know, and they just went on the lower part where there wasn't no coal hardly, and just run through and just saw the coal out. Then they'd put a charge of powder in the top and blow it down in the loading machine and pull right up there.
Uh-huh. Well, did they make it pretty hard for a small operation to continue and make a profit?
Oh, yeah.
When did that happen?
Well, that happened back in the 20s and the early 30s.
Well, they had them even then, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, are there still any one-man or small operations around Grove City coal mines?
Oh, I don't. There was one up at Pardo, but he quit. He leased his coal. He had a lot of coal. He leased it to a strip mine.
I see. When would you say?
I don't see that. I don't think there's any at all around here now. One man operation.
Uh-huh. How long ago do you think the one man operation type ended?
I'd say it's been, well, just when the strip mine started to come in here.
When was that?
Well, the first one came in, of course, it was out here at the park. That was the first one, but then there wasn't no more till quite a few years after that, and that would be around. In the 20s, early
20s. In the 20s, they strip mined the park area, where the park is?
Yeah, out there someplace.
That was the first one, and when did the second one come in, roughly?
The second strip mine come in here then was, and if I can just remember where the second strip mine was. Come in here. I think it was down by... I think it was down the Super Rock someplace.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I don't
know. Whose idea was it to strip? Was that an idea brought in from outside, or was it a local?
Well, this Tassa Coal Company come from Ohio.
Oh, I see.
See, there was a mine on that place.
Uh-huh.
There.
Uh-huh. Did anybody say anything about what they did to the land when they, did they put the soil back
not
on?
Not that time. They was just didn't do nothing. They just left it set there.
Did anyone complain about that at the time?
Yeah, there was complaint about that. Well, where the Grove City Park is, that was all stripped.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all back in there, that was all stripped back.
See, that must have been pretty ugly at that time.
Oh, it was. They done a lot of work on there to get that leveled off.
Well, nobody, did anyone try to get any laws passed at that time to get them to cover it up?
I don't mind if any. Of course, I was young then. I don't never paid no attention to that.
Was there, do you remember many complaints about what strip mines looked like?
Oh, they just dug us right down through you and took the coal out, threw the dirt back and went over and threw it back again, you know, and left it go. They didn't care.
They just didn't care.
No, they didn't care. My uncle had had an uncle at their Tassa Coal Company out here when it left there. Mm-hmm. He got a job hauling dirt and that, leveling off. Mm-hmm. He had a couple teams of horses, and they leveled a lot of that there ground off out there with just a team of horses.
Who paid him?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you that. But I know they done that because I went over there with my dad several times.
Uh-huh. What year was that? Do you remember?
No, I don't mind. It was in the early 20s.
Oh, it was, huh?
Mm-hmm. That was one time. That was the Weber farm,
mm-hmm.
where they stripped.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the people's name that had it before the Webers. Webers bought it,
mm-hmm.
and they leased the Weber farm and part of the Gregg, one of the Gregg farms.
Mm-hmm.
And then they moved in there and started to strip.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, there are a lot of farmers in the country. They was just gagging at the mouth, you know, but tearing the ground up like that.
Yeah, even then, huh?
Yeah, that old farm of Weber's was a good farm, you know.
Uh-huh.
Had good buildings on it, I guess, and everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Were they outsiders? Were the strippers generally outsiders?
Well, they come from Ohio over here someplace.
Did any local people ever strip?
No. Well, they had strippers come in and strip coal for them.
Uh-huh.
No, but they didn't. They wasn't running the operation or anything.
Uh-huh. Well, would anyone strip around here, a local strip, would he suffer any pressure on him because he
he would, yeah.
So he wouldn't do it, huh?
No, because because the people around here don't want that.
Yeah.
They've seen enough of it.
Yeah.
You take up towards Pardo here and up into that country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a lot of shallow coal up in there. It was ideal stripping, you know.
Yeah.
Boy, they'd strip along, and boy, they just raised hell.
Uh-huh.
People did about that.
Yeah, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, there's a lot of coal in this country could be stripped right now.
Yeah.
But they can't lease it because the people that owns it won't lease it for stripping.
Uh-huh.
As I know, a farm out along the Barks of the Road here, just outside of town, there are two or three farms right there, right together. That was 4.5, 5 feet of nice as damn coal mm-hmm. you've seen in the country out on them farms
uh-huh.
that you can't lease them to strip.
Oh, they won't let you.
No, they've been handed down from generation to generation.
Yeah.
And they're tied up. They ain't supposed to allow them to
uh-huh.
be stripped.
Could you, what usually was the thickness of the vein of coal around here?
About 3 feet.
3 feet?
Uh-huh. Well, some places it was 3.5, you know.
Uh-huh.
It varied, 3.5.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had coal out here with the cemetery. It was 5.5 feet thick.
Oh, that was pretty big. Huh?
Yeah, we had one entry. It went down over the hill, and it just dipped down, and oh, it bled water at the roof, you know.
Uh-huh.
Man, go in there, it just was like a rainstorm all over.
Oh, is that right?
But we wanted that to go through. We drilled the other side of it and it would come out again, you know.
Uh-huh.
My daddy, no men, all the men working there. Two went to it. One old fellow said he'd drive it through. Dad says, how much do you take? He said, I'll take $1 a car. That was a 1,000 car of coal.
Your father didn't want to use that money because it was unsafe or unhealthy or what?
No. He, there was an old fellow by the name of Weed. Two boys come down from Weedville. You know where Weedville is up in Forest County?
Oh, way up north. Huh?
Yeah. And they were in the coal business up there. And the coal was getting scarce up there for them.
Uh-huh.
They couldn't find any.
Uh-huh.
And they come down and they wanted to buy a coal mine. And they stopped out there and talked to my dad about it. And, oh, I don't know. They yacked back and forth for a month or two. They'd come there every two or three days.
Uh-huh.
Finally, one day, Dad come over to the house and we had the house just lived across the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, he said, I sold a mine, I think. Mom says, you what? He says, I sold it. My God, she said, it's about time you're selling. Because my dad was getting up in years, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so he said, well, they'll be here. So he sold it to them.
Uh-huh.
Well, they run it for quite a while.
With the water dripping down?
No, they dip, went the other way. They worked the other way on
uh-huh.
it and stuff.
Oh, I see.
And the coal was shallow way out there, you know, and shallow
uh-huh.
thick and stuff. And whereas the water was coming down, I was going to tell you about that.
Uh-huh.
One old fella, he said he'd take that job for $1 a car
uh-huh.
and drive that entry through there. That's okay. You just put.
What do you mean drive an entry through there?
Well,
cut a
drive
shaft?
An entry right away through it, you know.
I see, yeah. In spite of the water.
In spite of the water.
Uh-huh.
He did. Dad says, I'll buy you an electric light. You had to have electric lights.
Why?
Well, a car by light of water put it out.
Oh.
And he bought him a rubber suits, two rubber suits, a pair of high hip boots, everything.
Uh-huh.
And he went down there and he started driving it. So he drove it through.
Uh-huh.
And Jesus Christ, you know what he drawed?
What?
That the coal in there was just shoved in, you know, loose.
Yeah.
He would load 20 and 25 cars of coal a day.
How many would the average guy load?
About 6 or 7.
20, wow.
And Jesus, yeah, that guy got his check. Why, them goddamn miners just went crazy. all of them wanted the job then.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Why was he loading so much coal? Because it was so thick, 5 feet thick?
It was 5 foot thick.
Oh,
and it was,
I
wasn't
see.
Hard to take out. Hell, you could just take a pick and pull big hunks out, you know.
Oh, I see.
It was what they call is a wash-in, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the coal wasn't fast and tight to one another, see.
Oh.
And it'd shovel the ground up, and he'd lay two or three rails down and get the cars right up. You know.
Fast as he could go, huh?
Yeah, Walhart was his name.
Oh, then a miner earned as much as he could, depending on the thickness of the vein.
Yeah.
The thinner the vein, the less you're going to make, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have trouble getting miners into a vein that happened to be thin?
Oh, no. A coal miner would go in and they'd start to...
Whether it was thick or thin.
Whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
We never had no trouble with that.
Uh-huh. Were there any diseases associated with being down in a mine, like black lung? Did anyone ever
of course, that time they didn't know anything about black lung.
Uh-huh.
None.
Well, did anybody have what we now know as black lung?
Well, a lot of the old miners, they had coughs, you know, and they couldn't breathe or anything, but nobody knew what was the matter with them. The doctor didn't even know, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they did suffer probably from some sort of respiratory.
And the black powder smoke, you know, the powder went off, you know, and that smoke and stuff. Couldn't get it all out, you know. They breathed that, you know, and they had trouble that way.
How long could a miner generally last in a mine? Did they last till they were 65 or 70?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them would be 65, 70 years old before they quit mining.
Uh-huh. So it really wasn't all that bad, huh, in terms of black lung or anything?
No.
How many guys?
Of course, a lot of them old miners, they took care of themselves.
They
took care of themselves better than the people does today.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
They went home from work, they washed. We always had a wash place at the mine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and they washed right there and changed clothes and everything and put on their clothes and they'd go home.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And they would have a good meal at home. Uh-huh. They'd have a jungle yard. They ate pretty good and stuff. And they'd sit down after supper and read the paper and sit there for a while and then go to bed. They didn't go hell around or do anything else. There wasn't no automobiles or anything, you know, just the horse and buggies, they had.
Uh-huh.
But they might go to see their neighbors or go to a funeral or someplace, a home or something.
Uh-huh.
That's about all.
Uh-huh. How many guys did you ever know who had to quit work before they were 65 because of their health? How many?
I don't know if I know any.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. I never paid no attention to that.
Uh-huh. Were there many guys who got injured in the mine?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of fellows got injured. We had a lot of fellows injured in our mines.
Uh-huh.
A rock fall on them or something.
Oh, rock falls, huh?
Yeah,
mostly.
Stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But none of them was what you call real serious, you know.
Yeah,
We haul coal in here. I haul coal in here from out there, Blacktown, the mines out there when I was a kid, 11, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Team of horses hauled it over here to college when the powerhouse is right across the street here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a powerhouse right
here
on Main Street, Broad Street.
Three or four big steam boilers in there.
Oh.
And they heated up the water with steam.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'd throw it off over there and the other way, a lot of their tinkers did. Get tired waiting on me getting my coal off. I wasn't big enough to shovel it fast enough, and they'd get up and help me shovel it off.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They were pretty good about that, huh?
Oh, well, that time people was different than they are today.
Oh.
People,
they helped you. Huh?
Well, they didn't think all the time of themselves. They thought of the other fellas, too.
Uh-huh.
I've helped a lot of fellas out, you know, and everything here. One time I went out here, and one teamster had a horse slip and fall out here, edge of town, and we had extra horses at home.
Mm-hmm.
And he crippled up, hurt. Well, it broke his leg. He broke his leg, front leg.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get up, but I didn't know that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, "Well, I'll go out and get old Ned and bring him in."
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got a ride out with the guy, and when I was home, I had my team down there, standing down there, and I rode out with this guy in a buggy, and I got old Ned and jumped on him and brung him in, and he hooked him up in the place of his horse.
Oh.
And dug his horse off the road. And
helped him out.
Took him out. He come out, and he wanted to pay me the worst kind of a way, you know, for going out there and getting that horse. And my dad said, "No, you're not paying him nothing." He says, "I'm doing the paying around here." He says, "We might have one fall ourselves some of these days."
Yeah.
And this was an old teamster, and he always hauled coal for us, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, you knew him, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I remember when this was a pasture field here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. The Wrights had lived in the house right out along the road, had a little house.
What's
the
name
barn
of the street
here.
Out here?
Center.
That's Center Street, and we're sitting facing Center from Broad Street.
Yeah.
This used to be a meadow, a pasture?
Yeah, that there is. Yeah, well, Wrights used to have two teams of horses in there, pasture, and they hauled coal for us.
Well, that was before Bashline Hospital was put in here, huh?
No, well, at their Bashline Hospital, that was the Fowler hotel one time.
Oh, I see.
And the big white house right across the street from it, that was the old Fowler homestead. Then across the road was the Fowler livery barn where the Bash Line Company is now at one time.
Oh.
That used to be a livery stable.
How many holidays did your mine have in a year? Christmas?
Well,
and
you never bought it on a holiday, only Christmas.
Is that right? You didn't take off for any day?
No, they'd work it just year-round.
Uh-huh.
Well, some of them would take it off, you know, and some of them wouldn't.
Well, what days? You mean some guys would work on Christmas?
No.
Christmas was the one day you didn't.
Everybody took off.
Well, how about Easter? Well, that'd be Sunday, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
what other days did they have? 4th of July. Did they work on 4th of July?
A lot of them did work on 4th of July. Uh-huh. Just the same.
Uh-huh. Thanksgiving?
At that time, it didn't make no difference, you know.
Uh-huh.
It didn't make no difference what kind of a day it was or what's going on. We were going to work anyway.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. Even the 4th of July. Was there any goings on around here?
There used to be some doings here in town, but they didn't amount to much. They put off a couple of firecrackers and stuff, you know.
Oh,
them old farmers or old coal miners seen the powder going off and stuff.
Yeah.
They didn't even see it.
That's true.
The mine one time on the 4th of July, an old miner or two come out there, you know, and they come out of the mine that day, and he said, you know, this is 4th of July. And I said, yeah, I know it's 4th of July. He said, and my younger brother was there with me, and my dad was there, too. He said, we ought to have a little celebration. Well, Dad said, what are you going to have? Well, we'll just have a little noise, he said, to celebrate. We had an old anvil there. The horn was broke off it, not long there. The engine house. He took that over and set it on the other side of the driveway up on a block of wood or two, and he goes and gets regular mine powder, you know, and makes a little roll of it and wraps it up in paper and puts a squib in it, you know, and stuff. And now I'm going to let her. Uh-huh. I said, all right. Oh, thank God, you know, he let her, and we was in the engine house, you know, looking out the window. And it went off, you know, and that old anvil just rang, you know, 5 miles. Everybody thought that was awful.
A real big bang, too, huh?
Yeah.
Those guys knew black powder pretty well, didn't they?
Yeah, oh, they knew everything about it, you know.
Yeah.
The old guys.
Mm-hmm.
How
long were you in the mining business?
Well, I was in it with my dad in the mine when I was born. He was in the mine business then. And I was with him until 1928.
Mm-hmm. And then what about you when he was gone? Did you continue in the mine?
No, I quit before. After he sold his mine out at Sand Lake Road, he wasn't going back in the mine business again.
Uh-huh.
So he wasn't. So he quit that and he sold that out. I went in the garage, started to work in the garage.
Fixing cars?
Mm-hmm. And I worked for Ed Moon out here along the Sand Lake Road for quite a while. Then I come back.
Doing what? What'd you do there?
Repair automobiles.
Oh, and you could tell me something about...